Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for the members of our church, but for anyone who would come through the doors of this church, they would just sense the presence of God in this place, and I trust that you have sensed that this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 6, Acts in chapter 6, we're going to be reading verse 8 down to verse 15. The book of Acts, chapter 6. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says in verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenius, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do thank you, Lord God, for making a way for each one to come and be a part of the services here today. We thank you for what we've already received. And I pray, God, as we have opened up the scriptures and we look at this passage of scripture and these couple chapters that we'll be looking at, I just pray, God, that you'd give us the insight into these verses as we have need of. I pray, God, that each one here would hear what they have need to hear. Speak to each one. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you were to read chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Acts, you'll find that it tells us about a man named Stephen. Stephen was one of the first deacons in Christ's New Testament church, and he's also one of the first martyrs for the cause of Christ. There's in these two chapters, there's recorded for us much to learn and to apply, I believe, to our own lives concerning this man, Stephen. In Acts in chapter 6, we find the first deacons of the church, and when they were looking, the apostles had so much going on with studying and preaching and teaching, and there was a lot of administration responsibilities in the church, and so they were to seek out men that could serve in the church in the position of deacons. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, the church there in Jerusalem, and they chose the first one of the deacons, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, the first one that they thought of, the first one that they chose to serve as a deacon in the church. If you look down to chapter 6, as we just read, verse 8, it talks about Stephen. It says, "And Stephen was full of faith and power." Stephen, full of faith and power. In verse 15 it says, "And he had his face, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." Stephen had this great power, but yet he had the countenance of an angel, an angelical countenance to him. In chapter 7, you'll find that Stephen now preaches to them. And he preaches in chapter 7, verses 1 through 53, he preached Christ from Abraham to the very crucifixion. And then in chapter 7 and verse 59 and 60, the Bible says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, I love this about Stephen's death, it said he fell asleep. What a testimony to leave behind. Again, if you've not looked to the testimony of Stephen and what God has revealed to us in chapter 6 and 7, powerful testimony to leave behind. And not only that, it was also a powerful way to prepare to meet his God. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've just simply entitled, To Live with what Stephen was filled with. The Bible reveals much about Stephen and the life and what he was filled with. He was full of all the right things. And I wonder in our own lives this morning, what fills us? What consumes our minds and what consumes our hearts? What have we put inside of our minds? Filled with all the right things. Have you ever been full? And I think we think about that. We think about eating. And everyone here, no doubt, I'm sure that all of us have been full. That idea of full is to reach the top of the glass, if you will. For there not to be any room left over. I've been filled with a lot of junk food before. And being filled with junk food, I'm telling you what, that's a miserable feeling. That grease is just churning inside of your stomach and you want to empty it out. Amen? And then I've been filled with a lot of good things. And when I'm filled with good things, I'm sitting there thinking, I can't eat another bite, but boy, I want to. I can't wait until I'm able to digest some of this to give me a little more time so I can have some more of this Thanksgiving meal or whatever it might have been. But when we're filled, there's no room for anything else. If it's truly full, then nothing else can fit in. The first thing the Bible says about Stephen is in chapter 6 and verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. When the apostle said, you need to choose out 7 men that is qualified to serve as deacons in the church. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. When they thought about someone to serve in the church in this position, the first one that came to their minds was Stephen. And the Bible says that he was full of faith. His belief in God, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and in the eternal things. His belief in that was full. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we find in chapter 11, it actually gives us a definition of faith in verse 1 and 2. But in verse 3 in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says this, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. If you're full of that, then you will never doubt creation. If you're full of that, then you will not listen because there's no room for anyone to tell you anything different. There's no room for doubt because I'm full with faith. I know what I believe and why I believe it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. His word is powerful. And by the word of God, he created all things. By the word of God, we find truth. And if we are filled with faith in the word of God, there's no room for doubt. In verse 6, he says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. God wants every one of us to have faith, but just not a little faith. God wants all of us to have great faith. God wants every one of his children to be full of faith so that there is no room for doubt. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Stephen was a man that knew what he believed and why he believed it. Faith. Have you filled your mind with what you know to be God's word? If we fill our minds with what we know to be God's word in every area of life, listen to me. There's no room for doubt. And doubt is what Satan uses to discourage. Doubt is what Satan uses to destroy, to take us away from the blessings and the peace of mind that accompanies the promises of God. I want to be filled with what Stephen was filled with. I want my faith to be exactly where it needs to be, up to the brim, with no more room, so that the world cannot put any in. No matter who else that comes into my life, they cannot influence me, because my cup is full with faith. There's no more room. Stephen was that kind of a man that was full of faith. And can I tell you, that's exactly what Christ wanted all of his disciples to have. He often would talk about their little faith. He would talk about having greater faith. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 14, look there with me. Matthew chapter 14 is a very familiar passage of scripture that has to do with Peter. And Jesus going to them, walking on water, revealing to them who he was. They seen him coming to them at night in the midst of a storm, walking on water. They knew that he had to be God. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 29, and he said, in verse 28, the Bible says, and Peter answering him said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This man's walking on water. Wow. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That means that he wasn't full of faith. Because God doesn't give us the spirit of fear. Peter had faith, but his faith was not where God wanted it to be as of yet. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, look right here, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter Peter had faith, but he had not filled the cup yet. He had faith, enough faith to walk on water. You see, he was able to taste what faith could do for him. If you're saved here this morning, you had to have faith. You see, it only takes a little bit of faith to be saved. But you have to have faith. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. God has made it so simple that if you just have a little bit of faith, you can actually get saved, but God does not want you to stay there. If you were here in Sunday morning Sunday school, you understand that we are born again, and as we're born again, we're born as babes in Christ, and babes have just a little faith. They know that they have life, but they don't understand anything else about life. But as they start growing and maturing, then they start understanding more and more about life. They're starting to enjoy more food. In the beginning, all they can have is milk. But then as they start maturing, they're able to get into some of the finer cuisine of life. And they can actually start enjoying meat, filet mignon. But they have to mature. They have to grow. The only way that we're going to enjoy the filet mignon, the spiritual filet mignon that God has for us to enjoy, is for us to grow in our faith. And the way that we grow in our faith is by understanding more and more of the Word of God. And as we take in the Word of God and we fill our cups to the brim, we look at the Word of God to deal with every situation in life and every idea, every time I have a decision to make, in every aspect of my life, I look to the Word of God, and in that area, I want to fill myself up with what the Bible says about that area of my life. And when I get to where God wants me to be, I'll be full of faith. And if I'm full, there's no room for doubt. And the thing of it is, God has made it available for every one of us to be full of faith. You have as much faith right now as you want to have. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God has been completed for some 2,000 years. The Word of God has been preserved for us. We have it written down, ready for us to read. God has established His church. And in this 21st century, the church, the biblical church, is assembled and makes all day on Sunday the Lord's Day. And we have Sunday school where you can learn and grow. We have morning service where you can learn and grow. We have evening services where you can learn and grow. We have a midweek service where you can learn and grow. Where you can fill up your faith. But we choose what we put in. Garbage in, garbage out. Let's fill up. I want what Stephen had. The Bible says he was the first one they looked to, and they said, this man was full of faith in every aspect of his life, in the testimony of this man. Proved that he believed the Word of God. He believed in the teachings of Christ, and he was very much aware of eternal things because he was full. No room for doubt of faith. Go back with me to our text in Acts in chapter 6. Not only was he full of faith, but the Bible records here at a couple different places in these two chapters that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, look out. The apostle says this is what you look for. Look for somebody that's honest, has an honest report, and full of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 7 and verse 55, when they were coming upon Stephen and stoning him, wanted to take his life. The Bible says about Stephen during this time in chapter 7, verse 55, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, knew exactly what to do. Looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. You see, at salvation, when a person acknowledges Jesus Christ as God's plan of salvation, you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior. Because you can't get saved unless you see yourself in need of a Savior. You can't get saved unless you know that you're lost. When you see yourself as lost, then you have taken a step to being saved. The wages of sin is death. And all of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. So I see myself as a sinner in need of a Savior, and then I focus on Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection, the gospel. And He did that for me. And as He did that for me, I have faith to believe He did it for me. Then I confess with my mouth and I receive a gift that He has for me, which is everlasting life. When I receive that gift, I receive all of the person of the Holy Spirit. That's all of God in you. Now stop and think about that. The very same God that spoke the worlds into existence. The God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but all three are one. That's what the Bible says. All three are three in one. And when you get saved, God the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell within you, seals you to the day of redemption. That means that now your body is a temple of God and you have the fullness of God in you. You've been born again. That's what that means. So I have access to the power of God. It's not in me, it's in Him, but He is in me as a believer. Yeah. And if I'm full of faith, I understand that. If I'm full of faith, I'm very much aware of that. Now I need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, He's in me. But there's a lot of believers that don't even have confidence that they're saved. There's a lot of believers that are afraid of praying in public. There's a lot of believers that are afraid to step out into the water like Peter was. At least he stepped out. The others wouldn't even step out. So what is that? Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. I got saved. How do I get full of the Holy Ghost? Be you filled with the Holy Spirit. If He's already in you, then what you have need to do is yield to Him. And the more you yield to the Spirit of God within you, the more power He has over your flesh, the more power He has over your will. And you finally get to that place where you look to God and say, God, not my will, but Thy will be done, because that's how the Spirit of God is leading me. And the more I yield my will to God's will, the yield to the Spirit that dwells within me, the more I will be filled. If I am filled with the Holy Spirit, if I'm totally filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room for self. In order for the Holy Spirit to have more of me, I've got to empty myself of me and yield to Him. Until I'm full of Him and not myself. Too many are full of themselves. Yeah. And as a believer, I need to be filled full of the Holy Ghost. Galatians in chapter 5. This is what the filling of the Holy Ghost will do for us. This is who He is. And this is what I can do through Him.
In Galatians in chapter 5, we find the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. This is what I'm filled with once I get saved and die to self. If I am full of the Spirit of God, then the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. I can love the unlovable. You see, Stephen preached to them because of love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's how I live my life if I'm full. I guarantee you the flesh is opposite that. How I would live my life outside of salvation, outside of yielding to the Spirit of God, would be opposite that. Instead of even on my deathbed saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as Jesus said on the cross, and if you will, as exactly what Stephen said before he would die, lay not this charge against them. He was not only forgave them, he wanted to present them to God for God's forgiveness. That is not of the old nature. That is not of the flesh. That is of the Spirit of God. And the only way that we're able to do that is being filled with the Holy Ghost or filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you can do that because it is God in you. But you have to empty yourself. Ideally, in the Christian life, there's no place for self. It's all about Christ living through me. Wow. Galatians in chapter 5, look at verse 24. How do you do this? In order to be full, this is what we must do. Chapter 5, after he gives us the fruit of the Spirit, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, died to self. Became alive to God through the Spirit of God. Have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You see, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, then you've left room for lust. Lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh and pride of life. Only way to get rid of that is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's how we do it. How to become more and more filled with the Holy Ghost? You walk in the Spirit. When you get up in the morning, you acknowledge that God lives in you. God, lead, guide, and direct me through the day. God, help me to have right thinking. God, pray the Lord's Prayer. I mean, be aware of how you need to pray and asking God to deliver you from temptation, asking God to help you to acknowledge His presence in our lives. Every day, get up in the morning realizing I need to yield. If you really want to be full of the Spirit of God, full of the Holy Ghost, as we find Stephen was, you can be full of the Holy Ghost. That means that there's no more to put in. Self has been emptied out, and the Spirit of God has filled your life now, and your thinking and your lifestyle and how you live your life is led by the Spirit of God. That is being full. Yield to Him. If you're saved here this morning, you can live that kind of a Christian life. But we have to empty ourselves of self. Totally yielded. Every hour of every day, yielded. Tomorrow, same thing. The next day, same thing. Every hour of every day. Wow. Full of the faith. Full of the Holy Ghost. says one more thing. Chapter 6. Go back there with me. Everybody following me this morning? This is good stuff. I'm telling you. Just walk in the Spirit. Be aware of Him. Yield to Him. He's there. If you're saved, He's there. Acts in chapter 6 and verse 8. Stephen was full of faith and power. Okay, so now I'm full of faith and I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Now I've got God in me and I have access to His power. I've been equipped by God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to do whatever God would have me to do. You have to believe that. If you're full of faith, you do believe that. If you're not full of faith, you'll be doubting that. I can't do that. Well, if God wants you to do it, you can do that. You have to be full of faith. If you're full of faith, then you can have the power, the ability. You've been equipped to do whatever it is God would have you to do. He had the face of an angel. Yeah. And he preached the truth. What did he do? He said what needed to be said with the right spirit. Verse 51, this is something he said. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which sowed before on the coming of the just one of whom ye have been now, the betrayers and murderers." He said that with the face of an angel. But it's because he was telling them what they needed to hear. He was revealing this out of a love for them, knowing that they needed to know the truth. Said what needed to be said. Will you say what needs to be said to your spouse, to your children, to your coworkers, to your friends? God wants you to. And you're able to do that because that's how the Spirit of God wants to work through you. He forgave as God would have him to forgive. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, as he was dying, being stoned, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I can't forgive that individual. You know what they've done to me. I don't need to know what they've done to you. I know it's God's will for you because it's going to do you more damage than it will them to have a forgiving spirit. Not to lay down and let people walk all over you. That's not Christianity. That's not what God expects. God expects for you to have a forgiving spirit. Be willing to forgive no matter what the trespass against you. You can. You have the power and the indwelling of the Spirit of God if you have faith to believe it. The last thing is he saw what he needed to see. Chapter 7, verse 56, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened." Can I tell you, God will allow you to see what you need to see as you serve Him. Stephen, knowing he's getting ready to be the first martyr, and God had a purpose and a plan for that, God enabled him to just see the heavens open. "I seen the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God," because his faith was he believed God, the teachings of Christ, and eternal things. He knew that there was more than this life to live for. God in him did a work through him. What a powerful way to live and die. He was full. He lived his life full of faith. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full. No place, no room for anything else. We can live that life. I trust that through the teachings on the life of Stephen, that we have received that and have a desire to do what we have need to do, to be filled with the same things that Stephen filled his life with. He was full. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you full this morning? Somebody looking at you, would they say, this person is full of faith? This person is full of the Spirit of God. This person is full of the power. He's doing things that I wouldn't think he'd be able to do. To live with what Stephen was filled with is how I want to live. I trust it's how you want to live. Father, we bow before you. I pray, God, right now for each one in this place. And Lord, this is a message that you would have me to preach concerning the life of Stephen. And I pray, God, that we would all be able to identify with this and that we would have a desire to be filled with the very same things. If there's someone here that does not know you as Savior, help them, Lord, to come to the place of salvation right here and right now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.